It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. You can call us at 617-779-7937. It is that Yacht Rock time of year, baby.
And it's a Philly band right here.
Love this.
All-star game tonight.
And you can also listen to us on the Odyssey app as well. Did you say you're seeing the Odyssey on Thursday?
Thursday, yes. Oh, right, man. After the show.
Nothing but great reviews. It looks
really
amazing. It does. You know what I'm actually seeing tomorrow night? There is a... remember the movie Paranormal Activity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, pretty good movie. Like,
oh,
found
I'm going to
this. Yeah, so like, it's about to become a Broadway, like a thing on Broadway, but before they move it to New York, they like to do a run sometimes in Boston, and like the Emerson Colonial Theater is doing it for like a couple of weeks. I'm going tomorrow night.
Yeah, me too. I'll see you there.
Yeah, awesome. Apparently the special effects and stuff are insane.
Oh, really? Because I have not read a review.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, like,
yeah, so I have no idea what to expect, but the early word.
What makes that, because I think we were talking about the Blair Witch trial.
Yeah, yeah.
What makes that kind of type of movie so successful?
The found footage thing? Well, the Blair Witch one was because they did such a good job. It was the first.
I went thinking it was a real thing.
Because
there was no internet back then.
No.
Like, no one knew.
And the History Channel, this was so great. The movie studio had made a fake documentary and paid the History Channel to play it. So you see something on the History Channel, you're like, well, this is obviously real.
Right.
So people went into the theater thinking that it was real.
Yeah.
And that made it 10 times better.
It did. It made it. Dude, I was scared because I thought it was real.
Yep. Even if you knew it wasn't real, it was a well done movie. It was very scary. And Paranormal Activity was kind of like, you know, in the same vein. You know, it's like where you have house cameras all over and there's ghosts and stuff moving all around. It just seems like something kind of cool. So I'm seeing that Wednesday.
But it seems weird they would bring it back. It seemed like the first wave was the real thing. That was the zeitgeist in the moment. Now it's like people know the deal.
Well, like, you know, Cloverfield was like that. There's like a bunch of like found footage movies. Oh, I'll tell you a good one that you should see. The movie Creep. Have you guys seen Creep?
No.
Oh, Creep is great. It's about a dude who gets follows a Craigslist ad, and he has to go out into the woods and meet this guy by himself, and he says, hey, I'm dying of brain cancer, and I want you to film this video for my unborn son, and weird stuff happens.
Weird stuff happens.
That's a good one.
It's a very, very weird
whatever
movie.
Rich suggests, it always ends with weird stuff happens.
Always.
In there somewhere.
Always. All these great movies that I've never heard of, Rich has seen. Are they really that great?
Well, I'm not going to suggest Superman.
What was the one yesterday? The Raid Redemption?
The Raid Redemption rules.
I write these down, and eventually I get to them.
But yeah.
And Border.
And Border is super strange, but The Raid is a straight up, like, it's one of the best action movies you'll ever see. It honestly is. I think it inspired the John Wick movies. It is a great, great, great movie. That's a good one. All right. But Tom Brady's been taking a beating. And, you know, this whole deal with the coach of the Seahawks coming out and saying that we got some help from somebody who had, what was the phrase that he used?
Conflict of interest.
Yes. And many people assume that it was Tom Brady. And then was it Zach Gelb who works in the station?
Zach Gelb talked to Mike McDonald.
Yeah.
He said, no, it's not. But
he
also
didn't talk to Brady, though.
That's true. Brady's been all quiet here.
Yep. I believe it was Brady. But somebody who's never been a fan of Tom Brady is Chris Sims. Chris Sims is the guy that I think before Tom Brady won his final three Super Bowls said that he was going to fall off a cliff. Wasn't that his big famous phrase?
That was Kellerman.
That was Kellerman.
That was Max Kellerman, yep.
That's right.
People think Chris Sims, though, believed they could win with any top 15 quarterback. He was the one who was cited as a former member of Bill's staff
that.
And yeah. That's what
Sims
Bill
was
thinks.
All about Belichick, thinking it was Belichick that was pulling the strings and not Brady. I don't think I was living here at the time when Chris Sims was on this team for training camp. I don't think he made the team but I think he was here and backed up Brady for a training camp, I think.
So Chris Sims came out with a list, and it was the top 10 quarterbacks in their prime, ranking the top 10 quarterbacks from when they were in their prime. First, let me ask you this, Ted. What year do you believe Tom Brady was in his prime?
Oh, I mean, it's got to be 2007 to 2017.
See, I would say his best year, like the one where I was like...
Oh, just the one year?
I'm just trying to take one sample. When you visualize Tom Brady...
2007.
Yeah, with Randy Moss and Welker
50
year.
50 touchdowns.
No question. I think the exact same thing. So just imagine that.
He was 30 by then. Is that the average age? Like, do you think that's prime athlete in football?
For that position,
I would say.
For other positions, I'd say you're on the back nine.
Yeah. So... here are Chris Sims' ranking of the top 10 quarterbacks in their prime. Let's go to number one.
So number one is Peyton Manning.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, you know, a little bit of a hot take.
Oh, boy.
But you knew he'd be near the top. Sure. Prime Peyton Manning was amazing. He was a fantastic quarterback. But he's number one, not Brady. All right. So, obviously, let's see who number two is.
Number two is Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Patrick Mahomes should also be near the top.
Mm-hmm.
So, where's Tom Brady? He's got to be number three.
Number three for you in a prime year's quarterback countdown list is Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that guy. No. I mean, in his prime, man. I don't know, man. In his prime. He did win three MVP awards, I think.
His one title.
I know. It's only one title, but man, in his prime.
Four MVPs, actually. Mm. Sad to admit that. He did win four.
All right. Well, listen.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Four
MVPs, one title.
One Super Bowl. If that doesn't say Aaron Rodgers, what else does?
Exactly.
All right. So if you're going to give it to Aaron Rodgers, then Tom Brady's got to be number four, right?
Yeah. And number four is going to be John Elway.
No. Okay. Oh, I love John.
Right, John
love
Elway.
John. Yeah.
Okay. Then he's got to be number five, right?
At least
number five quarterback is going to be Brett Favre.
All right, Brett. I love Brett.
The gunslinger. Blair.
Another one title guy.
Gunslinger. Yeah.
Did win three MVPs, too.
Brett Favre, really?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Does it say what it was? How old was he when he won his last one?
When his last MVP?
Was it all with Green Bay? I'd be curious. Was there any?
Because that Vikings year,
was insane.
Yeah, it was pretty damn good. I don't know if he won MVP, but he was, that first year was great.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he kind of shoved it in their face. Pretty
big
good.
Big time.
All right, let's go to okay. So that was number five.
Gotta be six.
Brady, come on, Brady's got to be six.
Number six is going to be Josh Allen.
Jesus. Who's never won a Super Bowl? And I mean, he had five turnovers in that division round. Just saying, against Denver.
Yeah, had a great play.
All right, so he's not number six. Brady's got to be seven, right?
Number seven, just ahead of Dan Marino, is Lamar Jackson.
Okay,
this is insane.
Lamar Jackson ahead of Tom Brady. So I guess the next one's Dan Marino, then, right?
Number eight. Their peak year. Dan Marino.
Okay. Oh, all right. Dan Marino's, you know, I would probably put him in the top 10. Sure.
Yeah, for sure. Dan Marino's in the top 10.
So Fran Tarkenton is next, or what are we going to do?
Seriously.
Who's number nine?
Tom number nine for you is going to be Tom Brady.
Hey! Wow. Jesus. Wow. Does he give criteria on how he's picked these? Just in their prime.
It's such a bizarre, like, you know, in their
Here's what he said. Yeah. This was his justification. He said Tom Brady did get afforded the luxury, especially in his prime, in the early prime years of, we're not asking you to carry the team. Belichick is going to come up with an unbelievable defensive game plan. That's nice towards you there. He added that Brady, quote, was not going to extend plays and needed strong pass protection to thrive, unlike some of the other quarterbacks on his list who overcame difficult circumstances with sheer talent. I don't understand. First of all, like that.
Okay,
why is he talking about the first three Super Bowls when that's not him in his prime?
Yeah, he went to seven other ones, Chris, after that. Just seven more.
By the way, Favre MVPs in 95, 6, and 97. Years in a row, ages 26, 27, 28.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I mean, this is a joke.
No, it's a
total joke. It's such a joke. It's almost not even worth giving the attention it deserves, other than that's obviously what he wants. And the region, Keith brought this up, is in a weird state with Brady. You almost feel like not defending him based on how weird it feels. Brady lately's weird. He's just an odd guy.
But here's the difference. You may not be able to defend his personal actions off the field. He's a weird-ass dude and kind of a dick. But on the field...
Killer.
He's a killer. He's the best of all time, unquestioned. Yeah. There's not even any kind of blurry vision of it being anybody else other than Tom Brady.
Like, his number one quarterback in his prime is Peyton Manning, who never left the pocket. So I'm thinking, well, maybe he likes guys that leave the pocket, guys that are athletes. Okay.
He'll put Mike Vick in there or something like that.
Right, yeah, but no, his number one quarterback is Peyton Manning, who lived 5 yards behind the center,
right,
which is where Tom lived. Wait a minute, you can't – Peyton Manning's ball was, like, not a tight spiral. I mean, he got it done. He was a very simple system. Mm-hmm. They played 11 personnel. They didn't motion a lot. Dude, Tom was on another level. I'm sorry, Peyton. Love you, bro. Love you. 7-1 against you. Love you. You're a great quarterback. But to me, the two styles, you can compare the two styles because they're both pocket. And to have them 8 players apart is ridiculous.
Is it a hot take that I would put Mahomes ahead of Peyton on that list?
No, I don't think it's hot.
Okay.
No.
Because I would, if I was looking at that list, I would go Brady, Mahomes. Oh, I probably Peyton third. I got to think a little bit more. But the
Mahomes won 3 titles. The other guys won 2. I mean, that's not crazy at all. Like, yeah. You just feel like he's a better, bigger winner.
I think I've seen more holy crap moments from Mahomes than I have from Peyton. Yeah. Peyton's had some great ones, but Mahomes was magic.
Now, like, 14 Pro Bowls for Peyton Manning to 6 right now for Mahomes. So it's just the body of work. It's the longevity is pretty amazing.
No, but I would put Mahomes ahead. Like, you're talking about in their primes, if that's the whole thing
Mahomes
about this list.
Mahomes is ahead of Peyton, yeah, for sure.
I would think so, too.
For sure. I mean, you know what? Peyton had really good defenses. Dude, he had, and he had Edgerrin James. He had great tight ends. He had great wide receivers. I mean, you know, Mahomes had, obviously, Travis Kelce, but Patrick Mahomes did more with less than Peyton did.
Oh, sure. And you know, listen, Brady didn't always have the best weapons.
No.
So, no. I mean, Chris Sims just hates Tom Brady. And you know what? He got our clicks. He got us talking about him. And then once again, they're just like Bedard. Don't, whatever you do, Christian Gonzalez, don't talk about me and let them retweet my stories. Please don't do it. Which, of course, makes them retweet it. Yeah, where's Joe Montana on that list? That's an interesting thing.
Great point.
I mean, I guess you would put
him. Have a prime.
Would you put him ahead of Marino? I know that he won more, obviously, but Marino's numbers were insane.
I you know what? Sorry, I have to. Yeah. 4 Super Bowls.
Really? Yeah. You kind of got to.
I thought you went the other way.
No, I put Marino. Yeah. I put, excuse me, Montana in front
Montana
of Marino.
Out of that? Yeah. Sure. Well, there you go. Somebody said, who do you want other than Tom Brady as your winning quarterback? Like, if you have one game, who would you want, like, in their prime?
Right.
Anybody better than Tom Brady?
Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
No one.
No one. Sorry. None.
So, someone said Brady treated Sims poorly when Sims was on the roster for that preseason, and that's why Sims doesn't like him. Mm-hmm. There has to be some sort of history as to why.
Sims was
like
here
him.
over
2012. He was like
camp.
A coaching assistant too. He was like back as a
Tom probably blew him off. So it's a personal thing.
He's a Belichick buddy too, isn't he?
Oh yeah, big time. Okay. Big
well,
time.
Then that makes all the sense in the world.
When you lost to Peyton was 2000.
Dude, it was his rookie year, 1999. Which he won like 3 games that year, and one was we lost to him. But other than that, 7 games.
Overrated.
I love how you knew that immediately.
Yeah.
Well, I would too, man. Dude, yeah. Hell yeah.
So I retired in 2005. You remember that AFC Championship game in 2005 where the Patriots had a big lead?
Yeah.
And then Peyton brought him back and stormed back and beat the Patriots in that dramatic game. Right. And I was just thinking, because they were hitting the tight end over the middle, which is right where I would have been.
Yeah.
And my boy Eric Alexander, wearing my number 52, was just toasted by the tight end. I'm like, oh, that would be me right there. I'm glad I'm not out there.
Good choice.
Did you ever crack him? Did you ever get a hit on Peyton?
No.
Wow.
Really?
You, because the ball came out so fat.
Yeah.
The strategy against Peyton was you do not blitz him. You ever. If anything, you drop more guys. We did a coverage I've never used before. We would drop 8 guys and rush 3 against Peyton.
Yeah.
The longer Peyton holds the ball, the better it is for the defense, because he cannot make good decisions when the ball he's still holding it after 4 seconds.
Wow.
And so if you blitz him, then the reads are easy and he gets the ball out fast. So you never blitz Peyton Manning. So I never got to sack him.
Did you ever hit anybody else on that list? Like, did you ever hit?
He almost took Dan Marino's head off. I saw.
Dude, Marino. That's right. I've seen that shot. Are
you kidding me? Dude, any pocket quarterback. So Marino never left the pocket. They're going to blitz me up the A gaps. I think I got 2 or 3 sacks against him. And then Bledsoe. And when he went to Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
Belichick's blitzing me up the A gap. I take Bledsoe down and just look at him and laugh. Dude, hey, bro, what's up? It was always against pocket quarterbacks that they sent me on the A blitz.
Any quarterback that you ever gave some extra sauce to?
I would love to have given a little extra to Brett. I did hit him not late. It was questionable. And we had a little funny exchange. But, I hit Brett, but it did not go down as a sack because he got rid of the ball.
What was the funny exchange?
Oh, it's something about the Super Bowl that they beat us in 96.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just reminiscing about something like about that game.
Okay.
Yeah. Or about,
should have come back against Sturger.
You got any bikes? What do you got, any bikes in your socks there? What do you got in there, man?
Taking pictures of your smurf hut? You know, what are we doing here? All right, 617-779. Oh, wow, we got some calls. 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls right after this.